Hey y'all, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5 and Jesus' healing of the paralytic, starting in verse 17. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." So here in Luke, as Jesus has gone to his hometown of Nazareth and been run out, as it were, he goes to Capernaum, and there he performs a number of miracles, and word spreads more broadly, and his teaching. He's finally come, for the Gospel of Luke, to the notice of the Pharisees and the scribes. Remember, the Pharisees were a group that believed if all of the laws of cleanliness that were supposed to be followed by the priests were followed by all Israel, God would move. And so these folks tried to follow those laws themselves, and they tried to impose the following of those laws on others. The scribes were, we might call them biblical scholars, experts on these rules and regulations, and they sort of worked in some sense in tandem with the Pharisees. And so they've heard about Jesus, and they've come for themselves to find out what he's all about. And so this is that first confrontation, and this begins a series of confrontations between Jesus and these leaders that's going to go on in 5 and into 6. The scene itself, we've seen it's in other Gospels. It's in the Gospel of Mark. a couple of things that are worth noting. It's interesting to me that these men who brought the man, it seems as though it's their faith that heals him or their faith that brings about all this action. And I think that's very interesting because we don't get any indication that the man himself had faith. Maybe he did. But the text, I think, is drawing attention to the fact that his friends are doing something. And I think that just speaks to what we might be able to do for others if we work together and in love and in determination to try to bring them to God and bring them to Jesus and help them find him and find what they need in him. So I think it speaks to the power of what friends, when they work together, can do. And then notice, Jesus sees the man, he sees their faith, and he says, "Your sins have been forgiven." First, I would point out that in Luke, when Jesus is in Nazareth, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty." That's what this word is, liberty, freedom from sins. So it speaks to the nature of true freedom. That's a really important topic today because everybody, as Americans, freedom is one of our biggest values. But what is freedom? Is it freedom from things? Is it freedom to do things? Here, at least, Jesus suggests that one of the most important freedoms is freedom from sin, freedom from the consequences of our own sin. This also touches on the theme of sin and sickness. Now, I want to make this very clear. Jesus makes it clear in many other cases that sickness or disease are not the result of sin. So it's not universally the case that people are sick because of sin. But at least in this case and a handful of other cases, Jesus does suggest that the sickness is related to a person's sin, because the first thing Jesus does is not treat symptoms, the sickness, the paralysis, but to treat the root, which is this man's sins. He forgives him, and that leads him to going to the next step and bringing healing to him. So again, I think it's worth noting that Jesus, I think, and the Bible would teach that sometimes sickness is the consequence of sin, And therefore, what Jesus does is heals the root of the problem, which is sin. And then, of course, the scene does seem to be in many ways about the response of the Pharisees and the scribes. It's not clear in the translation, but what's going on is their thinking, right? It's what's going on in their heads. It's what's going on in their hearts that is troubling. They're having this interior dialogue that is a response to what Jesus has done. And I want to draw our attention to a few things. Number one, it doesn't seem like they're at all happy that this paralyzed man has been made well. Now, in other Gospels, they're upset about Sabbath observance. But here, they have another reason. Only God can forgive sins. So just a couple of things that strikes me about this. Number one, they're not happy that the man is healed. Number two, it's hard not to conclude that what's going on here is a little bit of sour grapes. Jesus' reputation is growing. He is getting more and more attention. He's healed this man, and all they can think is the theological niceties of the issue. So it really does seem like it comes down to envy, that folks aren't paying attention to them anymore, but paying attention to this Jesus, and that bothers them. And then lastly, note the ring of truth to what they say, even though it's ironic truth. They don't know the truth of it. Only God can forgive sin. Exactly, Pharisees and scribes. This is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is indeed forgiving sins. So there's so much in that statement. Jesus understands that, as has been said, the heart has its reasons, which reason knows not of. In other words, I think their motive is envy, and then they use their minds to reason to justify their envy. And Jesus is rebuking them for that. And then he says, well, guys, would you like to have proof that I can forgive sin? I can't give you evidence that this man is forgiven, but I can give you evidence that he's made well. And which do you think is harder? And so then he heals the man. And I think it's worth underlining that in prior situations, like the healing of the man with leprosy, leprosy kept him out of community. It kept him out of the worship of the people of God. And so cleansing from leprosy brings him back into communion with other people. And the same is true of paralysis, a man who was paralyzed because he was not completely sound in body, could not be a part of the worship of the community of the people of God. So Jesus healing this man isn't just about his physical healing. Yes, it is, but it is also about his restoration to relationship, his restoration to community. And then finally, notice the language of response to this. It's very strong. The word that we get our English word ecstasy is there, like they're outside of themselves with awe. They're glorifying God. The text says they're filled with fear. All right, this is all the language of wonder. When we get stopped in our tracks and we see something that catches our breath, catches our attention, and causes us to pause, what that's meant to do universally when Jesus does something like that is to draw attention to him and to as he draws attention to the Father. And then it also says that we've seen a great, let's see, what does it say here? We have seen extraordinary things today. Actually, the Greek word is the word that we get our word paradox from. So we've seen something that just bewilders us today. But again, we've got to follow the breadcrumbs of all of Jesus' miracles. It's not just entertainment value. And once again, you know, we see that the way these guys respond to a miracle, to forgiveness and then this healing, apparently is not the positive response of thanking God and considering what this might say, that this man is extending forgiveness in the name of God and bringing wholeness to mind and body in the name of God. So may we respond in our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit with gratitude, with awe, with humility, with reception to the word of the kingdom that comes through the preaching of Jesus. Amen.